republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome everybody. Can I get an approval of the agenda as presented?
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and second. Any additions, deletions, corrections? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes of the January 3rd, 2022 regular meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further comment from the council? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unfinished business, ordinance 1412, third and final reading. An ordinance providing for the annexation of Bighorn Cooperative Marketing Association of Wyoming Nonprofit Corporation to the town of the city of Buffalo, Wyoming. Is there an annexation agreement?
Yes.
Got it. There we go. Can I get a motion to approve ordinance 1412 on its third and final reading?
And will we adopt 1412?
Well, second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes.
Hearing none, 1412 passes on its third and final reading. New business, Jim Dawson, 4-H Trap and Skeet Club, annual update.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, Mr. Council, Council, and Julie, thank you for letting me be here. My name is Jim Dawson. I know all of you, and I'm here with several hats tonight. Obviously, the Buffalo Trapping Skeet Club is the first order of business, and I'm going to segue right into the 4-H because we work so well together. And then I'm also here with another group as well tonight, so make sure I change them quickly. The Buffalo Trap and Ski Club, the East Range, we had a very good year last year. Scott, would you mind?
Thanks.
It was a great year for involvement. It was a great year for membership. And a lot of that has to do with our current vice president of the club, Kurt Ulrich. He was pretty instrumental in getting our main project a couple years ago with the pistol burns. And if you haven't been out there, I think there's seven, eight?
12 over here.
Eight new burns that major dirt work was done out there. And the membership has really grown because of that. With that, he has 15 pistol matches, bringing in people from, you know, the region. So it's quite a windfall for the community when that many people come in. On the 4-H side of things, we had another tremendous year, close to 100 kids participating out there. And the Trap Club is very receptive to the recruitment of new shooters. And there's no charges to any of those kids, free targets and free use of the facilities, and it's a real win-win situation for us. A couple other new things that we've got going out there. There is a trap league. There hasn't been a trap league out there since the Terry Barnhart days, so we're looking at a long time ago. And to see that resurrected, it's really cool to do that. Another really, really exciting thing. One of our board members is not able to make it tonight. His name is Tracy Coulson. And Tracy is an avid trap shooter, runs a trap league, but he also started a Buffalo High School trap team. So right now, that's why he's not here tonight, because they have an informational meeting up at the high school for kids that are interested in that activity. So that's another thing right there. We've had the Wyoming High School Rodeo Association, when they come up in May and do their big rodeo, they reached out and we opened up the doors and they had a trap shoot and rifle shoots there and part of the rodeo, and they had a wonderful time. A couple other entities used the facility, so I mean, it's really getting used a lot. We talked about it at one of our quarterly board meetings to have a counter put out there and just to see the use, because anytime there's 11 on the board right now, and you can see the list of the board members right there, working board, and they've done a lot of great things. But every time any of us are out there, there are people there. You know, it's phenomenal, the use that that's getting. I'd like to invite all of you to come out and participate in the fun. One of the things that Tracy did the last 2 years, he came to the council and asked about a big night variance, and they had another successful kickoff to New Year's, and it wasn't near as cold this time as it was last year at this time. So, that's really in a nutshell what I have to report. You know, obviously we're real proud that the annual membership, the keys are still on good sports card like it has been for 50 years or so, and our membership, annual membership, is $30, and that's the lowest in the state that I've seen. When I was in a different hat a long time ago, again, fish was in almost every range in the state, and we've got a wonderful, I consider, world-class facility out there, and for 30, Sheridan's is $100, and they don't offer any more than we do, so it's good stuff. So, any other questions about the traffic? Kirk, do you have anything to say on that?
I think you've said it all.
You know, and this summer I didn't want to read that all to you, but obviously there's a lot of great things happening. And the second hat that I'm wearing, I'm the segue right into this, I am the president of the Trout Club, but I also am the Johnson County 4-H Eating Sports Liaison. So what I have is near and dear to my heart. We get 90 to 100 kids each year shooting out there with the different disciplines. And with that in mind, we've kind of had a meeting. This has been in the works for about a year or so now, and looked at our greatest needs. And one of the greatest needs that we have is they shoot archery, air pistol, and air rifle indoors in January, and that's done at the community building at the fairgrounds. And there's no charge to us, and it's a wonderful partnership that way. Except they've been busy. The community building takes paying customers before they let the freebie kids in there. So the last couple of years, actually 2000 was an anomaly in that we had no shooting sports that whole year. Obviously, the world was not conducive to close contact. So what we've looked at doing is creating an opportunity. If you can give that to the public as well. Here is a proposal. We're looking at a metal building out on the East Range. It's a pie-in-the-sky type of building that we're looking at where we can shoot indoor. We're not looking at any kind of 22 range or any kind of actual firearm range because of the baffling and the air filtration systems that we would need to go through. So we're looking basically at a 50 by 100 foot metal building to put out there. And we're looking at grants for this, and we've got a lot of irons in the fire and grant permits in. We are on our second round of Wyoming Game Fish Commission Doobie. Commissioner Doobie gave us a commissioner tag last year that we sold for $26,000. He gave me another one right at Christmas, and that's on the auction block right now. So that should be the early ones last year went for a little over $30,000. But again, this building had the bids from all over the region for this type of building, and we're looking at between $200,000 and $300,000. One of the things I'm going to ask the council to consider is to have this building housed out there parallel to the metal building that we have out there currently that's used by the Trap and Skeet Club for storage. And part of that is if we do not do plumbing in that building, we can still use the facilities inside the Buffalo Trap and Skeet Club clubhouse for that. So it kind of alleviates some of those things. What we're asking for is a 40-year lease. We lost one $20,000 grant because we did not have an answer to the question. And they said, what happens if 4-H goes away in 10 years? I said, well, 4-H has been in Johnson County for darn near 100 years, and I don't see it going away. The shooting sports ebbs and flows based on the dynamic leadership that they have. And right now there's a really dynamic bunch that have done a lot with these kids. So, but that's a proposal that I'm going to ask the council to consider, and hopefully in a timely fashion so that we can continue applying for grants and not get denied. One of the ones we have coming up in February is the Midway USA Range Development Grant. I talked to those folks last year, and we missed the deadline of February, but they're looking at matching our funds of up to $100,000, which is what they would give us, so you know, so we can come up with 100. Right now, without the sale of this first one from Commissioner or the second one from Commissioner Doobie's, we're sitting at a pot of 44,000 in the Johnson County Shooting Sports Program, you know, as seed money. Obviously, we're a long way from 200 to 300,000. But again, did go to the rec board last year, and once again, they said, well, you want more information about this, and we're not going to give you any money until you get more of your ducks in a row. So that's where we're at with that. So, did it take up 5 minutes yet? I know that's all I've allocated. But
thank you. Any questions for Mr. Boss?
I don't believe so.
Did it come out and shoot?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Electives get nervous around guns.
We can alleviate that anxiety. We have the skill set you have.
Thank you.
Next up on the agenda is Adam Teaton of Buffalo Youth Baseball.
Good evening. First off, thank you guys for your time. Thank you for those of you that remain on the council. Thank you for the two new council folks sacrificing your time away from your family. We greatly appreciate that. I'm here. My name is Adam Teaton. I'm representing Buffalo Youth Baseball and Softball. Bill Ostheimer's the current acting president. I was the former. I got hired to be the head coach of the Legion team, so I shifted that responsibility to him, but I'd already prepared this for you guys before that decision was made. So, participation-wise, in 2022, we had 21 teams using three fields, and one team using Pruszynski, based on age. Some of the softball teams were combined community efforts with folks from Dayton, Ranchester, Sheridan, and Bighorn. So we have kids coming from other communities to play softball here competitively. All told, we have 12 baseball teams, ages 5 to 19. That included an American Legion A team, two 12U recreational teams, one 12U competitive travel team, two 10U recreational teams, one 10U competitive travel team, three 8U developmental teams, and four 6U developmental teams on the baseball side of things. On the softball side of things, we had, and this is ages 8 to 14, two 14U recreational teams, one 10U recreational team, an 8U recreational team, two 14U travel teams. That was one of the co-op efforts with the Sheridan, Dayton, Ranchester, Bighorn folks. One 12U travel team, also in cooperation with them. We did host a 10U travel team here in Buffalo and an 8U travel team. And then there's an organization that has a 16U team that collects kids from all over the state in northern Colorado, and their head coach is from here, so they base a lot of their practices out of here. Pruszynski Park hosted 20 games this summer. We're expecting 25 to 30 games this summer. Last year, the sports complex hosted 30 games. We're expecting that number plus or minus another 5 or 10. In short and long, we hosted American Legion Baseball for the second season since 1986. We had an A team, 19 and under, and at season's end, we had four players from our A squad recognized as second team all-conference selections. They were Dominic Gonzalez, Rose Lambert, Turner Pruitt, and Bryce Camino earned his second consecutive selection to the all-conference team. The enthusiasm from visiting programs to see Buffalo hosting American Legion Baseball has not waned since last year. Everyone's quite excited that we again have a program after our long hiatus, and we're already in the planning phase for our 2023 season. We will have two American Legion teams this year using Pruszynski. One, a Class A team, which is 19 and under, and one's a Class C team, which is 15 and under. Our 12U and 10U travel programs played a lot of doubleheaders with surrounding community travel programs and attended several competitive tournaments outside of Buffalo, showing growth and improvement throughout the year with each game played. Our 12U travel team actually brought home a championship from a Newcastle invite. We went and showed really well. And we actually dominated. It was kind of fun. The kids hit the snot out of the baseball. So we're excited to elaborate on the development of the travel programs in 2023. The continued focus for the 8U and T-ball programs are on skill development, gameplay, and reminding those kids and those parents that baseball's fun, softball's fun, getting out, hitting, and throwing, it's all a good time. We partnered with the YMCA to reduce some of our expenses. They handled the registration for us. That was an excellent partnership. We're going to expand on that this year. We only use them for our 10U and 8U. We're going to use them for 12U and down, and Tim Miner and Tim Cahal, they've okayed that. I think everything's still good there. I don't want to speak out of turn, but we will be facilitating and administering all of the travel programs for both baseball and softball. The competitive travel softball programs, again, are a joint venture. Our two 14U teams showed quite well at state. One of them finished second and received an invite to a national tournament. We went to Minnesota for 6 days. The girls played a lot of high-end competition there. It was a good experience for them. As far as maintenance of the fields, the city historically has been responsible for all of the grass work, and we've been taking care of the dirt work for the past, I don't know how long, generations, I would imagine, both at Pruszynski and at the sports complex. Having said that, that's where we kind of run into some of the concerns that we have as an organization and some of our parent organizations have. We cannot host tournaments at Pruszynski or at the sports complex because of safety concerns. We are getting by hosting conference doubleheaders with the Legion program because of a lot of sweet-talking with the state, but the fence curling, the flooding issues, the lack of a center field fence, the deterioration of the infield, the condition of the bases at Pruszynski, the fences, the dugouts, there's a lot of infrastructural needs to bring Pruszynski up to a safe environment to host more than a doubleheader. We're grateful for the locations to call them home. Please don't assume that the list of things that we'd like to see addressed or us unhappy with anything. We love it. The program's continuing to grow. We're seeing that right now. But we would like to expand and have that opportunity. I want to commend Sean, first of all, for his work on the fields. He's been awesome to work with. One of your parks employees. Give that guy a raise. Like, he's really good. He's really good to work with. We appreciate working with him. I took the liberty of exploring a couple of options, especially for Pruszynski. Because of the level of competition, it is a varsity sport. These are ball players that end up playing Major League Baseball in some circumstances. Brandon Nimmo's a product of American Legion Baseball. He's a center fielder for the New York Mets. Those kids come through Buffalo to play, through the A program, through the C program. We would like to have a facility that allows them to showcase their abilities and our own kids to showcase their abilities. What we need from an infrastructural standpoint is clay to rebuild all of the batter's boxes at Pruszynski and the sports complex and the mound at Pruszynski. It's about $3,000 per pallet. On each pallet, there's 304 bricks. I've mapped it out. 304 bricks gets us about 2.5 batter's boxes. So two pallets, we cover everything. And we're happy as an organization to continue to do the labor part of this. We've been doing that for years. We've been putting a lot of Band-Aids on some pretty significant bullet wounds, and we're to the point now where the couple of bags of clay bricks we've been buying in the past are doing nothing. They're deteriorating before we get a third of the way through the season. So the mound's just needing some very, very long overdue maintenance.
We have portable mounds at the complex now. There's no permanent.
Yeah. And that was another option that I included. It's a little pricier, but it's incredibly permanent. It's not an every realistically speaking, we should probably be rebuilding the mound every 3 to 5 years, and it hasn't been rebuilt in probably 10 to 15 plus, to my knowledge. So that's been a pretty significant priority that's been overlooked. As far as the sports complex is considered, a couple of things that would help spruce that up from a usable standpoint: the clay for the batter's boxes. We're still dealing with, and this is to no fault of you guys, and you already know this, some of the shortcuts that were taken in the construction of that facility on the field situation. Mostly drainage issues, which are extremely hazardous. If we get any kind of rain, at most we might have a field available for use. It usually takes 2 of our 3 fields totally out of commission, the drainage issues. The backstop netting on 2 of the 3 fields is to the point where they don't stop softballs, let alone baseballs or anything. And that's also the fence at Brzezinski, too. The backstop at Brzezinski is a sieve at this point. Much like Brzezinski, the bases at the sports complex need replaced. They've run their course. They've been stepped on hundreds of thousands of times and moved and reset and moved and reset, and they've reached their lifespan. And it's about $1,200 for a set of bases. We're also using Bomber, and I like to put Bomber in there too because you guys do have an interest in that with Joco. Multiple teams and age groups used Bomber Mountain from January through April last year on multiple nights. We started in November with our winter workouts for our Legion program and are in that facility 3 nights a week right now, and will be so through at least May. In March and April, we'll bump to 4 nights a week.
It's been fantastic. So,
fantastic. Whatever we can do to either continue to keep that moving that direction or ensure we've got an indoor facility replacement plan if that thing gets raised to the ground beforehand, we would like to be a part of that conversation. Also, as a follow-up, those of you that are new to the council, last year I presented our design plans, which we've been working with Nelson Engineering. They've been doing the design and construction estimates for us pro bono at this point. We have the entire Brzezinski rehab facility, like big audacious goal, what we'd like to see on paper with estimates, and we also have the sports complex, big audacious goal on paper and drawn out in plans also. I'll leave copies of those up front so you guys can look at those at a later date, or Julie can file them electronically where everyone can see them. That's a big endeavor. It's about a $5 million project to address both Brzezinski and the sports complex. Separate, Brzezinski is about $1 million to flip it and totally rehab and refurbish it. We are in the process of doing whatever we can to raise the funds to do it because we don't want to saddle you guys with a $5 million project. At some point in time, there's going to be some grant applications that ask for co-ops, and I know Mayor Schrader and I have had some conversations over cups of coffee and out at the Fish and Derby for the Lions Club regarding what the city can or can't do to help with that. We're hoping to fine-tune those conversations as those grant applications start getting completed. Outside of that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have regarding our list of priorities for the facility in order for the kids to keep playing in a safe environment, and the kids and families that come to Buffalo to watch their kids play and enjoy this community, a safe environment. Otherwise, yes, questions if you have them. Yes, sir.
Can you email me or Julie, and we can get out to the rest of the council, a list of your concerns?
100%.
And want list?
Yep, and I'll prioritize it on that list, see if that works. One stat I forgot to let you know. So Buffalo Youth Baseball and Softball, as of right now, to my knowledge, is the most highly participated youth event in the city and county. 230 kids play bat and ball sports in this community. That doesn't throw any shade to any other organization, but that's a lot of families that are impacted. And then when you consider that every team comes to town, brings 14 kids plus family members, we're bringing 40, 50 people to town 30 nights a week, and that's just Brzezinski. That doesn't include the sports complex. So being able to expand that with a facility improvement for a weekend tournament that brings 6 to 12 teams to town is a lot to consider, hopefully for you guys to consider moving forward.
Yeah, we're very close to three weekend, being able to host three weekends at the complex. Youth softball, youth baseball, and if we can get to an adult softball league, that's three weekends in the summer, keeping that place busy. But we just need to get it where it's safe. We've got netting up that foul balls aren't going to get stands, things like that. So, you know, we're getting close to it. So thank you for your time.
Yep, appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thank Have a good evening.
Next is Timica Hall, Buffalo Trails Board.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tim Cahill, Buffalo Trails Board. We generally have not been doing our annual presentation, so we decided it'd be a great idea to get on. We're hoping to do kind of a semi-annual with the way that things work within the trails to update you coming into the season and then kind of coming out of the peak seasons. That saying peak season isn't really what the seasons used to be. We're seeing year-round usage that's higher than ever out on the trails. I'm a firm believer that our trail system is one of the greatest assets we have in this community, and I'm very proud of it. I know when Keith, our secretary, moved here and I first met and talked with him, he said he was looking to hear in a couple other communities and said that the trail system was one of the things that really said, Buffalo is my next home. So with that, we wanted to bring you up to speed on what we have done and then a few things that are coming into the future. So over the past year, we've been able to accomplish quite a few things. We put a swing gate in up at the top of the Clear Creek, the Greenbelt Trail leading into the Veterans Home of Wyoming, allowing for jogging strollers and bikes to more easily go through. It's spring-loaded, so it doesn't let cattle out. We organized a work day with First Interstate Bank over at Evan Epper, where they helped remove dead Russian olives and do some light maintenance, getting more people engaged in the community. But one of the big ones was through 50% funding from 1%, and the other 50% coming from Two for Trails, which is a non-athletic beer company that actually sponsors me as a cyclist. They're out of California and Connecticut, really been growing in the field of non-alcoholic beer. They also are very passionate about giving back to trails. So 2% of all their proceeds go back into trails projects around the country. They were up to giving away $2 million in the previous cycle. I applied to get the match for the 1% funds to bring in this conservation corp, and we were awarded as one of their projects at full request. They loved the project and are very interested to continue working with us in the future. They liked our locale, our numbers, what we were doing, and thought it was really cool to bring in this conservation corp, which is college kids that are working on their resumes, giving back. 10 of them came to town for 10 days, and we got all-day work out of all these young, strong backs, which was awesome. We have a lot of trail out there that's continuing to grow all the time, and it's a lot for a volunteer board and one seasonal employee to keep up with. So we're really proud of the funding there and to be able to bring in that crew. Along with bringing in that crew, we were able to kind of foster a relationship more with the crew, that we are now working together on the Wyoming Recreation Grant, which is a gigantic undertaking. Thank God they're doing the large majority of it. But if we're in late stages of it right now, if they are awarded on their end, we will be able to bring them back to Buffalo for three times over the next 2 years for a fraction of what we paid last go around. We're looking at probably in the realm of $1,500 per hitch to bring them back. It was $15,000 last time. So that's a really, really cool partnership that could pay huge dividends to the community. Those great highlights, though, didn't come without their struggles. Like everything else in the world, we're struggling to maintain our seasonal employee. Our employee chain is one, so every time we lose one, it's all hands on deck, get out there and hustle fast. This forced us to be really creative. We started an Adopt Trail program, very similar to UC of Adopt the Highways, and we've had great buy-in so far. BLM, some banks, some churches have jumped right on and said, yeah, we'd love to come out a few times a year, send our people out to walk, sweep trails for garbage, fill in some small ruts. It's gotten more people on the trails, higher buy-in, and it's really taking the load off our seasonal person to allow them to work on the bigger fallen over trees, rocks that need moved, and the more major projects. With that said, one of our requests of the evening is if the council would be interested in adopting Centennial Trail from Wauvin to Klondike. Every once in a while on a sunny day,
walk down with your grocery bag, pick up a couple things that are laying on the side, you know, grab a stick out of the way. So if that's what you want to consider,
from Lobbin to
Klondike, right here on the Centennial that goes right past the building here, right through downtown. I figured it'd be a great spot that's close by and just really ties in with the trail system. So that's our request of the evening. With that, we're going to move into some of the bigger projects and things that we know are being eyeballed or even green-lighted, which is the sidewalk study. We were part of that conversation early on. We reviewed it. There's some great stuff in there that could definitely be beneficial to the human-powered travel aspect of Buffalo. I love that term, human-powered travel. I'm a cyclist primarily. That said, walking, running, it all has its place, and we have a lot of people doing it that's growing all the time. So anywhere along the ways that we could be helpful, whether that's jump-starting it, more feedback, anything to help everyone get engaged and get that ball rolling, we would love to be a part of that conversation. Along with that, we know that the bypass trail has been green-lighted as a go. Whether that's in the upcoming year tied in with the YDOT project, it's still up in the air. Novotny has spoken with me a couple times and said it will be updated as stuff goes. We really wanted to jump on early with you folks just as we're here and say we know it's coming. We do want to be a part of the conversation as soon as it is viable. We want to make sure that it stays in line with the Master Trails Plan 1. But 2, this will be a large draw on our already limited resources with our one seasonal employee. So the sooner we can be involved, the sooner we'll be able to devise a plan for that, get that portion adopted, or decide if we need to find extra funding for more employees and then where to find those employees. Next potential trail out, been a little bit lower hum, but we've been approached from the tourism about the potential of the North Trail that could go out French Creek, Rock Creek, Johnson Creek, more or less completing the locally known French Creek loop that most of us cyclists use. We're absolutely huge supporters of that. But an additional 14 miles of trail would be an extra large draw on our limited resources. So we're just here to ask that as any of those conversations poke up, please let us know, and we would love to come and set in and be a part of that early and often. Lastly, and I think most importantly of the evening, is the Master Trails Plan. The Master Trails Plan was drafted back in 2008 with the guidance that we modified every 3 to 5 years. Well, here we are 2023, and it's not modified. So we think it's definitely outdated, and I think we're definitely working in the past in a lot of areas. Most of the names on the lists in there are no longer present. There's miles of new trail since then, new developments such as e-bikes that weren't even a thought back in those days, and a lot of work that needs to go in. That is a bigger undertaking than a group of 6 volunteers are going to be able to tackle. It was a city planner that had a helper that actually wrote that in the early days, but the document exists. It's a great document. With some updating, we could bring it into the future to really keep Johnson County on the forefront of outdoor recreation, which I think is, again, once one of our greatest assets. Do you have anything for me? All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. John Coordinator and Jody Sauer of Johnson County Tourism Association.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. John and I wanted to come in this evening to kind of give you an overall update of the last year. Not sure when or if the Johnson County Travel and Tourism has presented anything to you. But in 2022 was a fairly transitional year for us. We started out looking to hire a marketing admin person. Got some great resumes, had some great people, offered some great positions, and then none of them kind of worked out. Seems like good people are hard to find, and when businesses are finding out they're losing good people, they're willing to step up and pay them more and offer more things. So we are continuing to work on that. We have some good applicants now for an admin position. We hope to get that in the works and taken care of fairly quickly. We are also in the board building stage. Through just changes in life, we have seen a pretty big turnover in our board, and we are slowly building that back up. You should have an application from Brian Whitlock, who sent an email in, and then you should be getting one from Anita Peoples. We talked to both of them today, and they were both very interested in attending or being included, and I think they'd make a great addition. Anita and her family own the KOA, very instrumental and involved in our market. And then Brian has Farmers Insurance, and he sees a lot of the traffic going by his building every day, and would love to find a way to keep some of those, I think he said 30,000 cars, come down into Buffalo and spend their money instead of just heading over the mountains. So hopefully you guys will see those two applications coming in the next couple days and consider those to join the board. We are also partnering. We are attending the JOCO First board meetings and the Chamber board meetings. We are in negotiations currently with the Chamber to possibly rent space for them, so we would have an actual office with hopefully a person in there, which would be really nice. John's going to cover some things with the Chamber partnership. We ran the Visitor Center last year and are looking to partner with them again for 2023. John can fill you in there. I mentioned a little bit some of the community partnerships that we're doing as far as JOCO First and the Chamber, but we're also going to be reaching out to the Trails Board and the Fairgrounds Board. Trying to think who else that was. I think that was probably all of them. Mm-hmm. Just to see if there's ways that we can partner together with some of the events that they're doing that we can help take care of the marketing for. We are truly a marketing organization, and that's what we are focusing on doing is marketing events and things that are going on in our area to try to get people to stay longer and spend more.
So, first I want to thank Councilman Madden for being in our meeting today. Appreciated your presence today. That was awesome. Marketing is what, like Jody said, marketing is what the Johnson County Tourism Association does in bringing tourists here. But what we've realized is that we need to take a little bit different approach, step back and look at how does that tourism get here? When do they make those decisions? They don't make those decisions when they're driving down I-25 and they see a billboard. They've already, you've all got it in your pocket or somewhere. That little device that keeps buzzing, that has been buzzing all evening long in my pants, that they look for where are they going to go? What was really interesting, just to give you a bit of a highlight, the Visitor Center, we're just managing the Visitor Center. This last summer, we had over 2,300 people just go through that Visitor Center out next to I-90. That's a lot of people coming through. But most of those people had already made decisions. They were headed predominantly where? Yellowstone, right? So what we're looking at is how do we reach that 2,300 plus when they're making those decisions so that they actually decide to stay here in Buffalo for 1 or 2 days and experience the big ones, experience Buffalo, KC, the county. So that's a totally different marketing approach. We're actually right now we're interviewing and talking with three different advertising and marketing agencies. One in particular is a national agency that the only thing that they do is tourism. And creating or putting together a partnership with a company that does that, so that now they can look at what our website looks like, what changes we need to make to that website to make it an actual salesperson instead of just a brochure, so that when people go to it, they see how they can put themselves in, how do they experience the West here in this area, so that we can sell them on that, so that they'll make that decision. That's taking, as I said, it's a little bit different approach than what has been in the past. There's been a lot of money spent on billboards, which we're really taking a hard look at, because everything that we need to do, we feel that there's a fiduciary responsibility that we have not only to you, to all of you, and to the commissioners, because of being to our powers board, that we also have a responsibility to the community with that money that's coming in from the lodging tax. So everything that we do, and you'll see this over the next year, which we have in the neighborhood estimated right now, we'll spend somewhere in the neighborhood of about $200,000 this next 12 months. Okay, $80,000 of that will come from a grant that we are very confident that we'll get from the state, as well as there's over $35,000. About $35,000 of that is co-op with the state through the Wyoming Tourism.
Wyoming Office of Tourism.
Office of Tourism. I always get those backwards. Wyoming Office of Tourism. So we're really out of that $200,000. We're spending, out of money that comes in, about $67,000 to $70,000. The rest of that is money that we're able to get from outside. It was great to hear Tim talk about the trails and that particular trail, because part of that money, we've looked at what can we do in that area, because it's available through that $80,000 in this grant. So there's a lot of different things that we're looking at, but we want to make sure that we can come to you on maybe it's a quarterly basis, to where we can say, these are the things that are out, that we have strategies that we're working on that have key performance and indicators that show a return on investment, so that we can actually look at the numbers to see that we're successful in everything that we do. Because if there's something that we're putting money into that doesn't show us that we're being successful, then we're not being responsible with that money, and we take that very seriously. So you're gonna see reports and things of that nature that talk about cost per 1,000 impressions and clicks and traffic to the website and social media data that maybe it'll be like, whoa, what's this? But I'm gonna give it to you because. And maybe you'll just ask the question, what is this, John? Which would be great. But that's where we're headed. It's taking some time to do that. We're making some big changes in what this board has done in the past. But we've got a really good core group of people right now that are working really hard on putting these things into place so that we can market. And then also just working with businesses and other organizations within the community to really partner with to increase the revenue that comes through this community, because a lot of dollars come from tourism, and we want to increase that.
Yeah, one of our big partners is the Wyoming Office of Tourism. They're a great resource, and they have lots of their programs where if we spend $4,000 on something, they match that $4,000. And so that's what we're really trying to do, is expand the revenue that we do have by those kind of partnerships that we can take advantage of. We will be attending the Governor's Conference the end of this month in Cheyenne. We will be attending the Rocky Mountain International Conference in Boise, Idaho in April. And then there'll be a governor's conference again, probably in Casper. I think it's in September, but I'm not sure on that day yet. So,
yeah, which is another partnership that I didn't mention, Rocky Mountain International. They specifically target international travel So we're talking with them, and what strategies do we put in place? Where do we spend money to meet those international travelers where they are? Because that stopped for a little bit because of the pandemic and everything, but it's back. And so, in meeting with those, we actually meet with the tour operators from those different countries to tell them why they need to include Buffalo, not just as a stopover to fill up the tank in the bus, but actually spend a couple of days here on the way to Yellowstone. Because we realize that's what happens. We just need to get them to stop here and stay for a while. So, any questions? Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
Next, President Carter, Operation Houston.
Hello. I have a handout for you all if you need an extra copy. So I'm Erica McCarter, and I head up the Operation Blue Santa charitable project through the Buffalo Police Department. So if you're unfamiliar, we are a charitable project ran through the police department, and we basically sponsor families through the holiday season, providing need for families in all different ways. So on our list, we have our support provided for this year. It goes everywhere from rent to food, groceries, bills, medical assistance, vehicle repairs, helps with bills, registration, basically anything that a family could use to start themselves on the right foot in the new year. So this year, we helped four families, a total of 15 people, which is one of the smallest groups that we've helped so far. But we had we had the largest need that we've seen so far. So this year we received approximately close to $22,000 in donations. Most of our donations come in the form of cash and check, but a lot of local businesses provide donations in the forms of goods and services. So like a lot of our vehicle repair work or vision care or grocery gift cards, all of those types of things are usually family specific, and those specific businesses work with our families to cover whatever it is that they need. This is our 11th year for the program, 6th for myself and my husband who run the program. In our first year, we raised approximately $8,500, and this year we've raised approximately $22,000. So we're very proud of the work that we've invested in this program. Over the years, we've noticed that people start to reach out to us before the Christmas season starts, like well into the summer. We'll get phone calls from the city saying that they received interest in sending us a donation from people across the U.S., So it's been really interesting and really, fun to be a part of this. That's basically what our program has done over the Christmas season. We just finished it up about today. We received a lot of last-minute donations, which is always great, but it's kind of hard to find places for those to go. So this year, we were able to jump back into helping the senior center with rent assistance, meal vouchers, and fast bus tickets. And then we also reached out to the school district to help pay off school lunch debts again. So, does anyone have any questions for us? No? All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that for the community.
Yeah.
Next on the agenda is Mayor's Board appointment or reappointment for Richard Wonka to Buffalo School Board for a 2-year term. Can I get a motion to accept Richard Wonka to the Buffalo School Board? So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome back, Richard. Ordinance 1413, first reading, and ordinance amending Chapter 16, offenses, miscellaneous, Section 40, contact with wildlife within the city of Buffalo.
Move to approve Ordinance 1413 on first reading.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 1413 passes on first reading. City attorney contract with Davis and Cannon, Dennis Curvin. Can I get a motion to accept the contract to the city attorney with Davis and Cannon? Second. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There that one is. Reports, Mr. Curvin.
Mayor and council members, I have no report, but I do have a comment. What a wonderful night to see these people who are not negative, are positive, working for this community. It's always a pleasure to see such individuals that have spoken here tonight seeking progress in our community. I wish all of our citizens could hear it. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Terry, building inspector.
Mayor, council. Last week, Les Hook, myself, sat down with KLNA to go over the North Main Stormwater Sewer Extension Project. They've got that all drawn up and figured up. So we sat down and looked at that. We've recommended approval of the design thus far. Our next steps with this project is to submit an application with YDOT, which were actually, they were also at this meeting and saw what we have path for design. What we need is permission to tie into their stormwater outlet, which is on the corner there, the bypass and Hart Street there at the truck stop. There's a 58 by 88. Inch inlet there that transfers their water from Hart Street from there across to the creek and dumps in the creek. The models we ran show that their system could handle what we have to add to it. It shows we did a 5-year, 25-year, and 100-year flood study there of what that could handle. At the 100-year flood, we are we're pushing it for what they can handle. So that's our next step, is to apply for them with what design we have to see if they're going to okay it. If they okay it, then we can move forward with that particular design. If not, we'll step back and look at it again. So that's where we're at with that. Let's see. With the contractor's license, I'm still short on renewal forms for my contractors. I need you guys to get in here and get renewed for the year, if you could. And then that brings me to short-term rentals. Back in June, we passed an ordinance on short-term rentals, basically saying that you would be licensed in the city of Buffalo to do short-term rentals. I've kind of been lacking on getting that word out there, but there is a process now for that. If you're doing short-term rentals, come see me. We've also now gotten up on our website a link where you can apply for that application online. Just go to the City of Buffalo's website, go to the Building Department tab, and then there will be several applications, building permit, this and that, and there will be one for short-term rentals. So go ahead and you can get on there and click on that and actually start the process right there. You won't be able to pay. There is a $100 fee per property, per license for that. You can't pay online, but you can get the process started there. So I need to kind of get the word out about that so we can get that going. My complaint of the week so far, flags. Flags along Main Street, 4th Street, Park Streets, these big flag banner signs, you know, the big tall ones that whip around, they are not allowed according to the ordinance. So I guess I should say they're not allowed in the right-of-ways, walking right-of-ways, highway right-of-ways, street right-of-ways. So that being said, on Main Street, you cannot have one of these flags. So just thought I'd get that out there because I have had complaints this week about that. So other than that, if you have any questions. Okay. Chief.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. What are we talking about today? I think Dennis hit the nail on the head when he said, talked about our community. The work that Erica McCarter and her husband, Brian. Brian is an officer, if you folks don't know, he's an officer with the Buffalo PD. They do great work, and you know, be a part of that this year was a lot of fun for me. I was having a long, bad day, and Erica said, hey, come put this dollhouse together and take these gifts around, and, you know, it was definitely awesome to see. Speaking on that, on January 6th, Friday, ourselves, the Sheriff's Department, DFS, we had a tough call where we had to remove six children from one family into protective custody. Difficult call, but I know our partnership with the Sheriff's Office, with DFS, they do a phenomenal job. Then our community step up and foster these children and take care of these kids and make sure that they're taken care of, taken to the doctor, taken to the dentist is an amazing thing. Wednesday on the 11th, we assisted deputies with a search and seizure warrant here in town. One subject was taken into custody, or did recover a small amount of methamphetamine. Then Thursday morning hit. Thursday morning, 6:30 in the morning, Officer Valentine gets a call for suspicious vehicle parked at the Come and Go here on Main Street. The clerk said they've been parked there for about 45 minutes at the gas pumps. When Officer Valentine arrived, the vehicle was parked. The sunshade was across the windshield. He made contact with two occupants in that car, one male, one female, adult. Upon speaking with the driver, who got out of the car rather abruptly, luckily Officer Matthews was able to respond quickly for backup. He was actually on his way home after working a 12-hour shift. He turned around, went and backed up Officer Valentine. During that course of the conversation, Deputy Maddox with the Sheriff's Office stopped by with his canine, Lucy. After some talking with this subject, we found out that the passenger, she had an open warrant. She was taken into custody. Lucy did a free air sniff around the exterior of that vehicle, immediately hit on the passenger side of that car for the detection of illegal narcotics. Both subjects were taken into custody. Short search of the car saw some foil with what appeared to be used blue pills that had been smoked. Their attorney immediately told them that could be fentanyl. That car was then taken to the Criminal Justice Center to the bay for a more thorough search. We went out, we searched that car, and during the course of that search, unfortunately, we seized 1,342 fentanyl pills, 54 grams of marijuana, 2,000 milligrams of liquid THC, with a litany of other things. But we did find 1,000 of those pills were packaged in bundles of 100 each, so there's 10 bundles, and then the other remaining 342 pills were just scattered throughout the car in different containers. I say that because our captain, when we were packaging and counting these, you know, we're double gloved, we're in the evidence room, you know, we have our Narcan available, some folks are masked up, because now you're wondering, you know, for folks like that, it's not a big deal to them, but for us, it's a huge, huge safety concern to our community. So, unfortunately, that was right here in Buffalo. The information that we got from some interviews, and the investigation is still ongoing. We've partnered up with DCI right now. So that investigation is still ongoing. We're going to try to take that up the chain. But definitely a phenomenal job by the officers that originally went. They could have easily told those folks, hey, pack up and leave, and that stuff would have left. They took the extra step. The training that they've been taking, the awareness to look, the fact that we had a deputy stop by with the dog. We are one working police department right now together. And because of that hard work, we pulled over 1,300 fentanyl pills, which is a big bust for Denver, let alone Buffalo. So our folks are doing a phenomenal job. It's dangerous work, and very proud of everybody involved in that case. So just thought you all might want to know that. Any questions? No. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir Hubert. Mayor and Council, I don't have much to report. I just got the guys out to cut ice on the curb and keep the community safe. Thank you, Mayor.
Yes,
I don't have anything to bring up.
Just came to say hi.
Just came to say hi.
Are there any oral or written comments? Hearing none on announcements. Planning and Zoning Board meeting January 24th at 1 p.m. Department head meeting February 7th at 7 a.m. City County meeting February 21st at 7 a.m. City Council meeting February 7th and 21st at 5 p.m. And for those of you that are going to be putting it in, 1% application deadlines are February 28th by 5 p.m. And I think just another one to add on there is I think the majority of us will be down at Cheyenne next week at WAM, the Wyoming Association of Municipalities, and visiting with our legislature. Can I get an approval of the bills as presented?
So moved.
Have a motion.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?